Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, now inside the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 13, 2014, or it's 8-18-2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, If That Isn't Love. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was a lonely hell of Golgotha, and to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no star in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly, if that isn't love. In heavens of men, there's no feeling like this, if that isn't love. Even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He's filled with love and compassion, and he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no star in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly, if that isn't love. In heaven's a myth, there's no feeling like this, if that isn't love. Everlasting Kingdom of the David, this is part 19. We're on the part about the chronological setting of the Revelation chapter by chapter in the summary. We're going to first refer to a prayer thought, and it's going to be entitled Intercessory Prayer. And it starts with Daniel 9. Okay, now let's just read Daniel 9:3. It says, and I set my face unto the Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. In biblical terms, intercession involves someone faithfully and continually pleading, particularly under Elohim, for the needs of another person or group of people. The prayer is for the Yahweh to take action in their situation. But the Daniel prayer in chapter 9 is an intercessory prayer in which he identifies with his fellow Jews. He confesses their sin and pleads with the Elohim to forgive and restore Jerusalem and the entire nation. But the Bible also records the intercession of the Yahshua and the Holy Spirit, as well as that of many righteous men and women throughout both the Old and the New Testaments. The intercession of Yahshua and the Holy Spirit, number one. During his earthly ministry, Yahshua prayed for those who were spiritually lost in regards who did not have a personal relationship with Elohim and were not following his purposes, because they are the ones he came to seek and to save, Luke 19:10. He was brokenhearted and in tears as he entered the rebellious city of Jerusalem, Luke 19:41. He prayed for his disciples, both individuals, see Luke 22:32. and as a group. In John 17, 6-26, he even prayed for his enemies while he hung dying on the cross, Luke 23:34. Number two, the ministry of the Yahshua at the present is to intercede for us unto his Father in regards unto the Yahweh, Romans 8:34, Hebrews 7:25, Hebrews 9:24. And see also Hebrews 7:25. Note, John calls Yahshua an advocate with the Father, Yahshua Messiah the righteous. See John 2:1. Note, Yahshua's intercession is necessary for our salvation and our ongoing relationship with the Yahweh of Isaiah 53:12. Without the Elohim's grace in the regards undeserved favor and goodness and mercy and help that are made available through the constant prayers of the Yahshua Messiah, our relationship with the Elohim would fail. We would fall away from him and once again become slaves unto sin. How many of us have thought about Yahshua having entered into the heavens? Do you think his intercessory prayers ended when he left this earth? No, it continued on. Number three, the Holy Spirit is also involved in intercession. Paul states, "We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered." Romans 8:26. For the Holy Spirit, through the human spirit of those who know Yahshua, intercedes according unto the will of the Elohim, Romans 8:27. That is to say, the Holy Spirit communicates with the Father in the perfect unity with Elohim's purposes. Thus, Yahshua intercedes for the believer from heaven, and the Spirit intercedes with the believer on the earth. To see a chart of the work of the Holy Spirit, 1849. The intercession of the believer. The Bible often refers to the intercessory prayers of the Elohim's people and records numerous examples of the remarkable, powerful prayers. Number one, in the Old Testament, we're dealing with kings that interceded for their kingdom. For 1 Chronicles 21:17, and it says that, and David said unto Elohim, "Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I, it is that have sinned. I, it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Yahweh, my Elohim, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued." See, Yahweh had just slain, the angel of Yahweh had just slain 70,000 men of David's army for his sin for numbering Israel. And so David is interceding for Yahweh to stop the slaughter. Then the angel of the Yahweh commanded Gad to say unto David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Yahweh in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Yahweh. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor, and bowed himself unto David, with his face to the ground. And David said unto Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Yahweh. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Ornan said unto David, "Take it unto thee." And let my master, the king, do that which is good in his eyes. Lord, I give thee the oxen also for the burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for the wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. And King David said unto Ornan, Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Yahweh, nor offer burnt offerings without the cause. So David gave unto Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by the weight. And David built there an altar unto the Yahweh, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Yahweh. And he answered him from the heaven by the fire upon the altar of the burnt offering. Okay, so now he said, and the Yahweh commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. Now, David went into this intercession after the angel had slain 70,000 of his army. But that ought to be enough to get the king's attention to intercede. Okay, now, in verse 28 of 1 Chronicles chapter 21, it said, at that time when David saw that the Yahweh had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, of the Ornan, the Jebusite. And remember, the Jebusites is what occupied Jerusalem when David went in for the first time to take Jerusalem. The Jebusites is occupying that rock where Jerusalem is now built upon, and David, with his army, drove them out. So, Jebusite, Jerusalem, Judah, how about that? They all start with this here. It's supposed to be a Y. Y-E-B, I'm sure. Then it says, and at that time when David saw that the Yahweh had answered him in the threshing floor of the Ornan and the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there for the tabernacle of the Yahweh which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season in the high place at the Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of the Yahweh, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Yahweh. Okay, that's David's intercession. Now, we'll go back to our reading again. It says that in 2 Chronicles 16, 14 to 42, we have the prophets. Now in 2 Chronicles 6, chapter 14, and the start, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, starting with verse 12 through 42, we're going to deal with Solomon's prayer of the dedication. And he stood before the altar of the Yahweh in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hand, for Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of the 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had seated in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward the heaven, and said, O Yahweh Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keep covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father, that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is in this day. Now therefore, O Yahweh Elohim of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel. Yet so that thy children take heed unto their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Yahweh Elohim of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. Verse 18. But with Elohim, is very in very deed dwell, but will the Yahweh Elohim in the very deed dwell with the men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect, therefore, unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Yahweh, my Elohim, to hearken unto the cry of the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. That thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this day. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from the heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from the heaven, and lo, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according unto his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto them and unto their fathers. When the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, and thou dost afflict them, verse 27, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servant, and of thy people, Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way, wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting, or mildew, locusts, or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man, or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house. And hear thou from heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose hearts thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live, in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people of Israel, but is come from a foreign country, for thy great namesake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according unto all that the stranger calleth unto thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name. Now you see how important it is to have intercessory prayer for everyone. Anyone can do it, because so that all the earth may know thy name. We want to get Yahweh's name out all over the earth. But then we got to start right here with intercessory prayer. I would beseech Jeff White, people in Africa, go into intercessory prayer. And fear thee, and as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. if thy people go out to war against their enemy, by the way, that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, in the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near. Yet, if they bethink themselves in the land where they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return unto thee with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my Elohim, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore arise, O Yahweh Elohim, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Yahweh Elohim, be clothed with the salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in the goodness. O Yahweh Elohim, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant. Okay. That ends 3 Chronicles chapter 6, and the intercessory prayer that Solomon offered up, and it covered quite a wide area of different diversities of people. So now it says in 1 Kings 18, 41-45, and Daniel 9, let's go to 1 Kings 18, 41-45. Okay, 1 Kings 18, 41-45. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees, and said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the east, toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with the clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Yahweh was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before the Ahab unto the entrance of Jezreel. Okay, so now let's go now to Daniel, back to Daniel 9, and well, actually we're in Daniel 9. Let's just go ahead and go to Ezra now, chapter 9, verse 5-15. Ezra 9, 5-15. And at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Yahweh my Elohim, and said, O my Elohim, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face unto thee, my Elohim, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up into the heavens. Well, that's what happened at Gilead Center. Our trespass for 33 years had grown up unto the heavens until heaven couldn't take no more of it. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of the face, as it is this day? That's what's happened to the whole Adventist world since 1844. They started out with the theme of the sanctuary and the fulfillment of the 2300-day prophecy, being a prophetic people to fulfill an awful mission, an awesome mission, and that is for the start the judgment of the dead, and then to usher in the judgment of the living, and then the final harvest and the resurrection of all the saints clear back to Adam's day. This is the privilege that was given to the Adventists. And where are they at today? They're not even praying this prayer that Ezra prayed. They're not even praying this prayer and confessing their sins and wrongs of their leaders and so forth. They just went on until Yahweh finally had to just bring them to their end. And now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Yahweh our Elohim to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our Elohim may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our Elohim hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our Elohim, and to repair the desolation thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is the capital of the holy city of Jerusalem here on earth, the holy city of heaven. Okay. And now, O our Elohim, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded, by thy servants, the prophets, saying, the land unto which you go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the land, with their abomination, which have filled it from one end unto another, with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong, and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance unto your children forever. Now, Verlis W. Johnson, he had three sons and a daughter. His three sons end up marrying Babylonian women, and his daughter end up marrying a heathen man. Okay, and so apparently he hadn't read this scripture here. And he was a prophet in Israel. So apparently he hadn't read this here. Okay, we're in Ezra, I believe 9:13. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our Elohim, hath punished us less than our iniquity deserved, and hath given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Okay, let's reread that verse 14 again. It said, should we again break thy commandments and join in the affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are there before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. Okay, Joel 1:13, gird yourselves and lament, ye priests, howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in the sackcloth, ye ministers of my Elohim. for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your Elohim. That's what happened at Kermit. The meat offering, the drink offering was withholden. Okay, it says in verse 14, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of Yahweh your Elohim, and cry unto Yahweh, alas for the day, for the day of the Yahweh is at hand. This is the day of Yahshua. And as the destruction of the Almighty shall it come, is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our Elohim, for the seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of the cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of the sheep are made desolate. So not only do you make the land desolate for your people when you don't intercede with Yahweh and return and refrain from wicked practices, but the animals also suffer because of your disobedience and insubordination to the commands of heaven. Okay, now let's go to Joel chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. Let the priests and ministers of Yahweh weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is your Elohim? Okay, deliverance is to follow repentance now. Watch this. Deliverance is to follow repentance. Then will the Yahweh be jealous for his land and pity his people? Yea, the Yahweh will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hind part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Yahweh will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Yahweh your Elohim. For he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down to you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors, here's your harvest now, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with the wine and oil, and I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar, and the pommer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Okay, that's pretty good. Let's just keep on now with these quotes about the intercessory prayer. Let's go to Genesis 17:18. And Abraham said unto Yahweh, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And Yahweh said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now, Abraham is interceding in behalf of Ishmael. He wants Ishmael to be all of this. And so Yahweh says, no, I got someone else planned to give to you for that purpose. A perpetuating and being a progenitor of the righteous line, clear down to the end of time. Okay, so now it says there in Genesis 18, 23-32, let's go read it now. It says that, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Yahweh said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Yahweh, which or the Yahshua, which him are but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. And, again he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said unto him, let not the Yahweh be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 to be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Yahweh. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, let not the Yahweh be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Yahweh went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Now, what if Yahweh had found at least 10 righteous people at Kermit, Texas? Because when it boiled down to what was left down there in Kermit at Gilead Center, we can count how many people were members at the time that we had our separation in 2002. We had the pastor and his wife, that's two. We had his son and his wife, that's four. And then Daniel had his son that was divorced at the time, but he was a member. So that's five. There's five right there. And then he had Alan DeLong and Amy. That's seven right there. And he had me and my wife. And that's nine. That's all we had present there. And then he had Maureen Watson, been a long-standing member. She lived in another town, but there's your 10 right there. There's your 10. That was you still solid members of the church. Now, what if he'd have found just 10 righteous people there? All of us being righteous when he came to visit, when Yahshua came at the Passover to visit. He would have spared Gilead Center. He'd have spared, because that was a total amount of people there worshiping, representing the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There was 10 of us there. That's all you could count as actual members of Gilead Center at that time. So now, what is that telling us? What did I just read to you? Abraham last interceded for 10. He said, and he went and said, and he said, let not Yahweh be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. So, there wasn't 10 found there at Gilead Center either. Just like there wasn't. And Sodom and Gomorrah represents the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. It's a type of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a type for us today. So when we come down to Gilead Center in 2002, what was the type telling us? Yeah, in the antitype, you're going to have antitypical somebody interceding for Gilead Center to see if there be at least 10 righteous people be left there, found there. Well, he found 10 in the chapel, all right. He found 10 in the tabernacle, but there wasn't 10 righteous there. There wasn't even five righteous there. Matter of fact, there was only three there that was worthy to be delivered out of the 10. And all because they were signing a crown against the abomination that the other seven were doing. Otherwise, he wouldn't have delivered me and my wife and Alan DeLong if we hadn't been signing a crown, because We were no more righteous than that seven. I hope you get the point, and it's well taken, because it says that, okay, it says David's prayer now for a son. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16. 2 Samuel 12:16. It says that David therefore besought Yahweh for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, he spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth, and washed and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of Yahweh, and worshipped. Then he came into his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive, and now, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether Elohim will be gracious unto me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go unto him, but he shall not return unto me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare his son, and he called his name Solomon. And Yahweh loved him, and he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of Yahweh. Okay. Okay, let's read it. 1 Chronicles 29:19. And I gave unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and do all these things, and to build the place for the which I have made provision. Okay, now let's back up a little bit. It says in verse 17, I know also, my Elohim, this is David talking, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in the uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee, O Yahweh Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Our fathers keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said unto all the congregation, now bless the Yahweh your Elohim, and all the congregation bless the Yahweh Elohim of their father, and bow down their heads and worship the Yahweh and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Yahweh, and offered burnt offerings unto the Yahweh on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs with their drink offering, and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. You see what happens when you got a king, a prophet, that makes intercession for his people and make offerings and so forth? That's intercessory prayer and offerings. Okay, now, it says in Job 1:5, and it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed Elohim in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Okay, now, This is what we're talking about. Yahweh raises up a righteous leader, and his main function is to make intercession for his household, for the people of the land, for Yahweh's people all over the world. Okay? So now it says here, so it says that in Moses' life, we see the supreme Old Testament example of the power of intercessory prayer. There were times when he pleaded with Elohim for the very lives and future of Elohim's chosen people. For example, after the Israelites rebelled against Yahweh and refused to go into Canaan, Elohim told Moses that he would destroy them and start a greater nation through Moses. That's in Numbers 14, 1 to 12. And then Moses then took the matter into the Yahweh in prayer and pleaded for the people. That's in Numbers 14, 13, and 19. At the conclusion of the Moses' prayer, Yahweh said, I have pardoned according unto thy word. Numbers 14, 20. See, also Exodus 32, 11 and 14. Numbers 11, 2. 12, 13. Numbers 21, 7. Numbers 27, 5. See article on effective praying on page 523. Of this book that I, this Bible that I'm reading from. This is quite a Bible. I have over 2,200 pages in this Bible. Normally a full printed Bible has a little over 1,000 pages, but this one has 2,300. All right, it says right here, when it says, I have pardoned according to thy word, Numbers 14:20. See also Exodus 32:11-14, and Numbers 11:2 and 12:13, Numbers 21:7 and 27:5. See article on effective praying. I've already read that to you. 523 page. Other powerful overtime intercessions includes Elijah, and you know who Elijah is today. Today translates into Eliyahu David. 1 Kings 18, 21 to 46, and James 5, 16 to 18, and Daniel 9, 20, line 9, 2 to 23, and Nehemiah 1, 3 to 11. Number 2, the New Testament also gives many examples of intercessory prayers. The Gospel, the four scriptural accounts of the Yahshua, the life of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, record how parents and others interceded with Yahshua for their loved ones. Parents pleaded with the Yahshua to heal their sick children. Mark 5:22-43 and John 4:47-53. A group of mothers asked Yahshua to bless their children. Mark 10:13. A man pleaded for his servant to be healed. Matthew 8:6-13. And the mother of James and John interceded with Yahshua regarding her son. Matthew 2:20-21. Number 3, the New Testament church frequently intercede on behalf of the various individuals. For the church in Antioch prayed for the success of the ministry of Barnabas and Paul, Acts 13:3. James specifically instructs leaders in the church to pray for the sick, James 5:14, and for all Christians to pray one for another, James 5:16. Hebrews 13:18-19. Paul goes one step further and asks that prayers be offered for everyone. 1 Timothy 2:1-3. Number 4, the Apostle Paul deserves special mention. Paul was a pioneer, missionary unto the Gentiles in regard to people who were not Jewish and a leader in the early church. He started several congregations and wrote many of the New Testament letters. In many of his letters, he tells of his own prayers for the various churches or individuals. And he got a lot of scriptures here. Philippians 1:4-11, Colossians 1:3-9-12, and 1 Thessalonians 1:2-3, and 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12, and 2 Titus 1:3. Actually, it might be Timothy. And then Philemon 1:4-6. Occasionally he records his prayers in the letter, Ephesians 1:15-19, Ephesians 3:14-19, and 1 Thessalonians 3:11-13. At the same time, Paul frequently asked churches to pray for him, knowing that only through their prayers would his ministry have its fullest effect, Romans 15:30-32, 2 Corinthians 1:11, and 1:11, and Ephesians 6:18-20, and Philippians 1:19, Colossians 4:3-4, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, and 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Purpose of the intercessory prayers. Okay, purposes of the intercessory prayers and the numerous intercessory prayers in the Bible. Many of the Elohim's faithful people pleaded with him to withhold his judgment. Genesis 18:23-32, Numbers 14:13-19, Joel 2:17, to restore his people, Nehemiah 1 and Daniel 9, to rescue individuals from danger, Acts 12:5-12, and Romans 15:31, and to bless his people, Numbers 6:24-26, 1 Kings 18:41-45, Psalms 122:6-8. Intercessors also prayed for the Holy Spirit's power to come, Acts 8:15-17, Ephesians 3:14-17, and for people to be healed, 1 Kings 17:20-21, Acts 28:8, James 5:14-16. People in the Old Testament and New Testament offered prayers unto Elohim for the forgivenesses of sin, Ezra 9:5-15, Daniel 9, Acts 7:60, and for people in authority to lead well, 1 Corinthians 29:19, and 1 Timothy 2:1-2. No, that's Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:1-2. They also prayed for the spiritual growth of the believers, Philippians 1:9-11, Colossians 1:10-11, for the effective pastors, 2 Timothy 1:3-7, for the effective mission work, Matthew 9:38, Ephesians 6:19-20, for the spiritual salvation of others, Romans 10:1, and for people to praise Elohim, Psalm 67:3-5. Anything that the Holy Spirit or the Bible reveals as Elohim's will, his desires, plans, and purposes, see article on the will of Elohim, page 1034 in this Bible that I'm reading, becomes a timely focus for the intercessory prayer. One unfailing principle that Elohim always honors is the power of continued, enduring prayer and faith. The will of the Yahweh. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. Isaiah 53:10. Defining the will of the Yahweh in general, the Bible refers into the will of Yahweh in three different senses. Number one, in some passages, the will of the Yahweh is another way of saying the law of Yahweh. For example, David uses the phrase, thy law, equally with thy will, in Psalms 40, verse 8. In the same way, the Apostle Paul, a pioneer leader of many New Testament churches and writer of the many of the New Testament letters or books, considers knowing Elohim's law to be equal with knowing Elohim's will, Romans 2:17-18. Since Elohim's law instructs us in how we should live, the law may rightly be called the will of the Yahweh. Law basically means instruction and includes the entire written word of the Yahweh. Therefore, Elohim's will refers unto his plans and purposes for us and the world. Number two, the will of the Yahweh is also used for anything that is expressed as the Elohim's desire. Now, this is what we call Elohim's perfect will, because it is what the Elohim ideally wants for us, his best and highest purpose. For example, it is Elohim's revealed will or desire that everyone be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4 and 2 Peter 3:9, and that no one who has received his salvation will turn from their relationship with him. See John 6:40. Note, for this truth does not mean that everyone will be saved, but only that Elohim desires for everyone to be spiritually saved. The fact is that people often choose to reject the best that Elohim desires for them. Number three, the will of Elohim may refer to what Elohim permits or allows to happen, even though he does not specifically cause or even desire it to happen. This could be referred to as Elohim's permissive will. In reality, much that happens in the world is contrary in regards not in agreement with the opposite of Elohim's perfect will. For example, for the Elohim is opposed unto sinful rebellion, lust, violence, hatred, and resistance against him. Yet he permits evil to continue for the present time. Elohim does not force anyone to believe in him or to accept his son. Yahshua, it is our choice whether or not to entrust our lives unto Yahshua. We are free to refuse a personal relationship with him and remain spiritually lost and condemned for the eternity. Another example is how Elohim allows many troubles and evils to affect our lives in this present world, 1 Peter 3:17 and 4:19, which continues to suffer from the results of the humankind's rebellion against Yahweh. These things are not necessary his desire or highest purpose. See John 5:19. I guess it's 1 John 5:19. Note, see articles on the providence of Elohim, page 76, and the suffering of the righteous, page 742. This brings a close. I state this our contest with the 11th hour call. I'm going to close the service now with a song that I've written entitled Christian Soldiers Don't Retire, for they're baptized in Christ. Living for the best is a way of life that I prefer on the covering stripe. I'll be a soldier and in the battle of the cross. I'll together join us, army breakers down against the fire and heavy on. As my captain, the Christian soldiers don't return. Christian soldiers don't return. Baptized in the fire, they are burnt up from the ground. In the dominion of the power, they are commissioned by the gospel fire. And they are called to go forward in the battle, giving victory for all. In for Yah and in His will, has spread the gospel and fulfilled all the things. If in your heart the Spirit dwells, you can start with the beginning, press it on down to the end. For the Spirit is given to help you with His word to comprehend. When Sir Yah in all His ways, He fills one life with joy and praise. Keep your home straight and narrow as His word you obey. The highest mountain praise us down, face to face, rest to come. Yah is with you, Christian soldier, don't return. Taking up the Christian wall, fills one's heart with intense desire. For there are many people waiting to be baptized in the fire. They are waiting in the nations and the isles. For the time of marching on Christian. far. Here comes Houston by the gospel fire, kneeling they are called. To go forward into battle, taking victory for home. Serving God is great army, there is no retirement plan. For those who live life eternal, they all ascend to the land. From the highways that will reach up to the stars, for the soldiers in God's army, perfect soldiers don't return. Christian soldiers don't return, for they're baptized in the sun. They are friends from the burning of the Pentecostal power.